Hello there. You're listening to the Watson's Daily Podcast with me, Peter Watson, on Thursday, the 10th of November. Today, I'm joined by Daphne Looper, who is a Watson's Daily ambassador. Hey there, Daphne. How are you doing today?
Hi, Peter. I'm good. How are you?
Brilliant, as always. So anyway, what story stood out for you in today's Watson's Daily?
Yeah, so today the story I found most interesting was actually about TikTok. So it was the FT article talking about how TikTok reduced its global revenue targets by 20%, which is at least $2 billion per the article, which is very significant, needless to say.
Indeed.
So what I found most interesting about this was that TikTok actually, or ByteDance actually blamed it on staff performance. Mm-hmm. So they blamed it on employee efficiency, mm-hmm. although at least from the opinion of staff themselves, this wasn't actually the case. Mm. So this kind of just goes to show that employers do what they think they can get away with and go as far as they can push it. Yeah. So what staff have been saying is that this might just be a spending issue, which isn't necessarily surprising. So we've seen, for example, that TikTok has been spending a lot on recruitment on a global scale, and spending a lot on, you know, lavish social events for staff and for publicity reasons.
Yeah.
I also think that it might be a sign that the ByteDance has been kind of overzealous with its plans.
Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot recently about how ByteDance has been looking to diversify its income. Mm. And in this way, it's been going, you know, directly against very long established competitors, especially when they're branching out into like things they have no experience in at all. For example, gaming or music, or trying to branch out at least. So what I think this is showing is that there might be an issue of transparency within the company. Mm. So I think this is the slashing of the revenues might just be another example of ByteDance and TikTok kind of not really giving the genuine reasoning behind their decisions. So for example, we saw very recently in the same meeting, actually, that they announced the revenue targets being slashed. They announced that they won't be listening in Hong Kong, which was very talked about recently within the company. Mm. And we also saw very recently they've been restructuring their US and Europe operations. Mm-hmm. So we see some moves that kind of point towards a decline, but no real reason behind them from coming from the company directly.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I do think that the revenue target reduction might actually be a good thing for the long term.
Yeah.
So it's kind of showing, in my opinion, a more realistic approach being taken by ByteDance.
Right.
Which, as I mentioned before, given its overzealous plans, might help temper its approach to be able to ride the economic wave. Mm. So I think because their growth still remains very drastic, this might be a way to make it more manageable. Mm. And this is despite the fact that it might be showing that they're following the same pattern as their tech competitor, the other tech competitors in declining growth. But yeah, so in conclusion, I think it is a good thing in terms of strategy, but it is showing that they have quite a few issues of transparency, as I mentioned before. Mm. And it's interesting to see how this is actually, this lack of transparency and this kind of cryptic approach around their plans is making staff really unhappy. So we've seen that, especially in executives, we've seen a lot of departures into from TikTok and ByteDance. So again, interesting to see how this is going to play out and how they're going to keep explaining their very optimistic or not plans. So yeah, what do you think, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, this is a very interesting story. $2 billion is a lot of money. I think that the listing thing is not too much of a surprise because at the end of the day, right? I mean, if you're going to list, you want to get a fat price, right? And you won't get a fat price in these kinds of markets. Also, remember that ByteDance is hated by the Chinese government. So they're not going to get any help with any of this.
No.
I also would say that obviously tech is taking a massive hit at the moment, and I would, if I was a tech company, I would be wanting to literally put out all the worst possible stuff. At the moment, I'd be saying
Yeah.
this is a disaster, revenue is a disaster, blah 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 is a disaster. And the reason for that is because everywhere else is having a nightmare. All the tech companies are having a nightmare, and so the impact of bad news is actually not as bad as it would be, let's say, if everyone was doing well and you come out with something disappointing. Then you'll see that your share price will drop hugely because people will think, well, everyone else is doing well, why aren't you? So I think from that point of view, I believe that I believe that, like you, I think this is a good thing that they've cut their targets. It also gives them, in my opinion, some wiggle room with which to negotiate with, like record companies, gaming companies, and that sort of thing, because they could say, they could, because the record companies and things, for instance, could say, well, TikTok, you've made massive revenues, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, we think we should get X percent of your, of revenues or whatever in terms of a fee of having access to their content. But then TikTok, stroke ByteDance can say, well, actually, it's not so good. And as you've seen, it's a bit of a nightmare. We can't get our, we can't have our IPO. We can't do this. And so they can use it in their negotiations to make it look less good. So that when things do turn around, actually, all the bad news is in the price, and you can get a very big and swift uptick when things get better.
Yeah, that's
So
true.
I mean, I reckon there's a number of sort of strands to that, but yes, I mean, ultimately it is interesting. $2 billion is a lot. Just ask the founder of FTX, for instance.
Yes. So
But
moving on to your story, Peter, speaking
yeah,
of
but
which.
yeah, a nice move. I was gonna say a nice segue to the next thing, but people, I don't know if people know what a Segway is these days, because the set also Segway, it went, so it was that thing that you used to get on if you didn't, if you were too lazy to walk anywhere and drive around while standing up, wasn't it, really?
Or if you live in a touristy city,
There you go.
it's the tour guide
There you go.
vehicles.
Yeah, there you go. But I think they went bust, I think, about a year or so ago. Fun fact. But anyway, right. So my actual story today is a revisit of this story about not Bitcoin, about Binance and FTX. So you will recall that because we only talked about this yesterday, but the fact that, Binance came to the rescue, or came apparently came to the rescue of
Tried.
FTX. So it's going to be a combination of two of the world's biggest cryptocurrency exchange platforms. Well, it looks now like this has failed, and it looks like. So I'm still looking. I'm still being trying to get the live information on this, but it looks like Binance has walked away from this deal. Now, apparently, the chief exec of Binance, he did less than 48 hours of due diligence. And by the way, due diligence is the fancy word or fancy phrase that you use for when you are looking to buy a company or something and you want to see the books and how it works and stuff to make sure that there's nothing horrendous before you buy. It's like if you're going to buy a car, it's like basically lifting up the hood, looking at the engine, kicking the tires, making sure everything works. That's basically what that is, right? So anyway, less than 48 hours of due diligence, and the statements,
Comprehensive.
well, exactly. And the statement said, as a result of corporate due diligence, as well as the latest news reports regarding mishandled customer funds and alleged US agency interventions, we have decided that we will not pursue the potential acquisition of FTX.com. So that sounds like an absolute nightmare. This could be fatal, for FTX. And I was reading, actually, I was reading, I think it was in another article, because obviously I don't just read the FT, I read quite a lot of other stuff as well. And it was saying how all these celebs, like, oh God, who's that? That American football player, Brady,
Oh, Tom Brady,
Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen, or whatever, who's actually, they're getting divorced, aren't they? But anyway,
How are they?
but yeah, well, no, apparently, I think this is the story of the guy. I think he's been playing American football for so long, and maybe he just didn't know what to do with himself when he was at home. I don't know, but anyway, because he's subsequently gone back, hasn't he? But anyway, they all these celebs have got in on it, and they're like, hey, you need to be in on the latest thing and stuff, and really put like and like I
New
keep
toy.
saying, yeah, exactly. And like, well, like I do keep saying, everyone thinks I'm just joking, but I'm not joking when I say, when you know that celebs and especially footballers get involved in something and push, and endorse something, that it's going to go wrong,
Oh, yeah.
and so although I think the only time I've ever seen a footballer get behind something and it be a commercial success is Gary Lineker and Walker's crisps for about the last 20 odd years. But apart from that, I
Bit
don't
less
think there's,
complicated than crypto.
yes, exactly. Crisps, yes. Crypto, no. So anyway, I do think that this is disastrous. It looks like FTX and the sister company Alameda, which is, I think, is a research company. If they go bust, that'll be curtains, and that'll be it. But anyway, the main sort of conclusion from that is, I keep saying, it's not, I'm not doing this to be nasty to crypto. My main problem with crypto is the fact that you get, some people, some companies being so arrogant that they think they are above regulation. And the fact is that regulation is there to help, to help ordinary people, when times, in the event of very hard times. And I think that, and to also to keep companies from be to account, so that to make sure that they behave in the right way, so that they do right by their customers. Anyway, in this case, they haven't been doing that. They don't, and actually, generally speaking, I don't think they do. They don't like regulation. Binance is the same thing. I mean, remember, I think it was Binance, it was last year, was judged by our own regulator as not being, they can't oversee it because it doesn't have the systems in place, dodgy structure, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, my point is that regulation should not be a dirty word, especially when it comes to protecting ordinary people. I mean, you've either got ordinary people buying into this stuff and having accounts on the platform, but also more people are indirectly exposed because of big financial institutions, like I think BlackRock and stuff. They put money into this as well, and
Exactly.
that's not their money. That's not something that they've got from the cookie jar. That is your money, my money, everyone's money, you know, who puts money away for pensions and stuff like that. That's where that's from. And so that does have impact on everyone. So, you know, it just to me, I mean, you could either take, maybe regulators are taking the stance of, oh, well, just let them fail and we'll see what happens. You know, they, you know, the problem might solve itself. Or hopefully they think, okay, the enough, we've had enough failures, you know, high profile failures now. Maybe if we now come in with some sensible regulation, everyone's going to fall in line. And I think that might be
Seems
good.
more sensible.
Yeah. And then also you might have consolidation among the some of the smaller players, you know, that might provide healthy competition and stuff. So I mean, ultimately, I think it's good for the industry, and it will bring more trust to the industry, which I think is lacking at the moment. So yeah. What do you reckon though?
I definitely agree. I think, I mean, on the one hand, this can, as we've seen with crypto, this can change any minute. So I keep look glancing at my phone to see if I get any kind of notification about this. So because of the volatility, and as you mentioned, this isn't something that just affects the net worth of really wealthy individuals. Like, the issue here isn't that the owner of FTX is going to have a net worth of 1 billion instead of what was it, 32, 24, something along those lines.
I mean,
Which,
once you go above a certain number, it doesn't really matter, does
yeah, exactly.
it? Anyway, yeah, go on.
So that's not really what we care about. It's exactly what you said. It's that regular people, especially during these times, invest in these things, and also the bigger institutions that are involved in such transactions use regular people's money to affect them. And if the financial institutions start doing badly, so are the real people that don't really have the cushion to rely on. And what regulation could do is provide that cushion, but it's just a matter of how quickly it can be implemented in order to temper such instability. But I think because I think this is a perfect case study to prove that regulation is necessary in like now, because it's just been in the pa in the span of 2 weeks, it's changed trajectory way too many times.
No, I agree. It is getting ridiculous. So yeah,
Which
absolutely.
again might seem funny from an outsider's point of view, and again, when you think about the people losing as these really wealthy guys who kind of strategize all of this, but this isn't the reality. It has a
Yeah,
real impact.
exactly. It really does. It really does. So there we go. I mean, I guess we'll leave it there for today. I would reiterate again to people that I'm going to be doing an event with Jake Sugar, or not this Saturday, the Saturday after, and that's going to help people attendees with turbo boosting their commercial awareness. As you know, I've been living, breathing commercial awareness for 20, more than 20 years. And you know, and obviously he's a Freshfields qualified lawyer, and he's got a lot of experience, and basically we come together to try to help people. We only do this once a year. It does cost, it's £9.99, but you get something like, I think it's something like £40 worth of extra benefits as well, or benefits that are worth that. So you know, if you are serious about this stuff and really boosting your capabilities and your knowledge, you know, please consider it. But anyway, the other thing as well is that today's Thursday, which I always say on a Thursday, and subscribers to Watson's Daily, so gold and silver subscribers, will have access to a call that will happen this evening. It's at 6 o'clock, and I will be going through the week's news so far, Q&A, and then after that, the debating topics, two debating topics, which are at the top of today's edition of Watson's Daily. And just in case any of you were very, very quick when you opened Watson's Daily today, I noticed that I had inadvertently put last week's debating topics on there, and it was open for all of 30 seconds. So if you were very quick, you just need to refresh your page to see what the actual debating topics are tonight. But anyway, apart from that, I just want to say thank you very much indeed, Daphne,
Thank you.
for your thoughts today. Also, thank you very much, as always, to listeners for listening and supporting this podcast. And if you like it, if you love it, and you want to give us a 5-star rating and a nice comment or two, that wouldn't hurt either. Thank you very much in advance. And thank you for those of you who have actually done that, because it is really nice and it does help us. So thank you very much indeed. Have a great day. We'll be back again tomorrow. Many thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.